Welcome into the Roto Lounge. It's your boy Brad Starks. We're talking more rookies. And tonight we're going to talk about Brian Thomas Jr., the wide receiver out of LSU, the junior wide receiver out of LSU. But before we do that, again, like always, it's time to get our drinks. And I'm not sure what I'm going to drink tonight, so I'm going to go to the Whiskey Bunker, find something special, and pour it with you tonight. And then we'll get on to Brian Thomas Jr., data film comps. I'll see you on the flip side. All right, well, I decided to go ahead and grab a Maker's Mark Wood Finishing Series 2023 Limited Edition BEP, which stands for Barrel Entry Proof. And if you're not familiar with the Maker's Mark Wood Finishing Series, they started years ago. There's so many that they had. BRTs, FA, I don't even remember what they're called. There's just so many of them. There's just so many of them. I don't even know how to explain it. But I think this is one of the highest proofs that they released. It's 109.6 proof. It is 10 virgin toasted American oak staves. Let's get into it, shall we? Ready? Championships. All right. Now, I did a review on this on YouTube on the channel. I did a boomer bust on the Maker's Mark, the cellar aged. I actually got a bottle now. I haven't opened it yet. I got it and I camped out and got a bottle of it. But I had a sample and I actually preferred the BEP for the price because I think this is like $50. But let's go ahead and get into it real quick. Let's get on the nose. Oh, really good. I mean, you get that caramel sweetness. You get that in a lot of bourbons. But I get like brown sugar. Maybe some graham crackers. You get that oak. Baking spices. Decent nose. And Maker's Mark is one of my favorites. You know, it's an oldie but a goodie. I really like the Maker's Mark 101 proof. And I think you can get that for like $38. And I usually really break into those around the holidays because it reminds me of like Christmas cookies and just the whole Christmas time of year. Reminds me of like my mom making cookies and things like that. So I really break into that 101 proof around the holidays. If you haven't had it before and you got $40 to break and you don't really know anything about Maker's Mark, look at the 101, Maker's Mark 101 proof. It's a nice proof, not too, you know, weak, not too strong, right around a good point. I really like that. So if you want to try it. Let's go on for the palate. Oh yeah, you definitely get those toasted oak profile. So for those that like toasted, like Elijah Craig Toasted Barrel or Woodford Reserve Double Oak, this has some of that similar profile with the 10 virgin toasted American oak staves that rest in it. You get that double oaked kind of profile, which is like, you know, you get brown sugar. Like when you mix brown sugar and butter and on the stove and you get that smell and that flavor profile, it reminds you of that. Cinnamon, you get that dry aged, that oak, that wet oak. Love that. Very good nose, very good palate. This is like, what you would imagine a bourbon would taste like. Very good. If you can find this, I think these are like $80. And while they are good, it's a hefty price to pay. So, you know, you gotta be willing to pay the price. But it is a very good bourbon. Especially if you're a Maker's fan. If you're a Maker's fan, you've got to get this. You have got to get this release. If you're not a Maker's fan, I would say start at the Maker's Mark 101. If you like that, hunt out this 2023 BEP. Now, I don't know. They're not going to release this again, so you'll have to find it on a shelf just kind of sitting there or in a trade. But it's a good one. Anyways, enough about bourbon. Let's get into Brian Thomas Jr. And let's talk about the hype that he's getting and what a beast this guy is. I'll tell you that he didn't even play high school football as a freshman, right? His dad wouldn't let him play because he thought he was too frail of a person and he would get hurt. So he stuck to basketball. He was a good basketball player, but he started football as a sophomore, right? So he played sophomore, junior, senior. He was ranked as the 9th overall wide receiver in his class, right? 3 years of high school football. The 9th wide receiver in his class. So over Marvin Harrison, over Malik Nabers, over Xavier Worthy, over Adonai Mitchell, like over all those guys. But I will tell you this. A lot of times when you look at those high school rankings, it's based on their athletic ability, right? Donovan Peoples-Jones was super high. I don't remember if he was number one in his class. He was really high. He was a five-star recruit. Brian Thomas is a four-star recruit, but he has that athletic ability, and we're going to talk about that, and it's a lot of the reason why the NFL scouts love him, because he is such a freak athlete. But is that going to translate into an NFL wide receiver, one that we won on our fantasy leagues? That's a question that we have to debate. So he was born October 8th, 2002, the exact same birth date as Adonai Mitchell. I just released my last podcast of Mitchell. They have the same birthday. So he's 21 years old. He'll be 22 in October of this year. He was from Louisiana, right? He's 6'3", 205 pounds from Walker, Louisiana. Extreme athlete coming out of school. Extreme athlete, right? However, there are some red flags, right? There's red flags when you look at what he did, right? So as a freshman, he came in, he had 28 receptions, 359 yards, and 2 touchdowns. That gave him a 10.56 market share of the team's receptions, yards, and touchdowns. And when you only look at yards and touchdowns, it's a 9.88, right? Not what we're looking for as a true freshman. You know, we like to see better freshman seasons from guys that we think are going to be NFL stars. He didn't do it. Okay, now he did have some competition, and we'll kind of talk about that going into his junior year. In that junior year, he had 31 receptions, 361 yards, and 5 touchdowns. All right, so that was a 15.18 dominator rating or market share of his team's reception yards and touchdowns. But then if you take away receptions, he had a 17.51 market share of just the yards and the touchdowns, right? We don't want to get too overhyped with touchdowns because touchdowns are not sticky, right? Some year you'll have a good touchdown rating. Some years you're not going to score, right? Just the way the ball bounces, right? What we're looking for is we're looking for those players that get a lot of receptions as well, because if you're not going to score touchdowns, we want to make sure you're getting receptions and yards. We want to make sure you're a big part of that offense, not just a deep threat, a home run threat, a touchdown threat, right? And we'll talk about how that might be what Brian Thomas Jr. is, right? But as a sophomore, you know, we talk about this, 31 receptions, 361 yards, 5 touchdowns. He played behind not only Malik Nabers, but also Kayshon Boutte, a player that I really like and a player that I still have hope for. But we'll see how that pans out. Also a receiver named Jeray Jenkins, right? So he was behind Jeray Jenkins and Kyren Lacy. So he wasn't even like it was Kayshon, Malik, and Brian Thomas. Like he also, you know, was competing with some guys we've never even heard of, right? So that's kind of a red flag. But Kayshon left. Jaden Daniels really developed this last year. And Brian Thomas just took off, right? 68 catches, 1,172 yards, and 17 touchdowns. Just unbelievable, like, what he did that last year. His receptions, yards, and touchdowns dominator rating was a 29.77. And if you take away receptions, he's at a 32.68. So you look at just 1,100, 1,172, and 17, just gave him that 32.68 dominator rating, which was tremendous, right? But, right, he was 21 years old when he had the breakout, just like Adonai Mitchell. And that it raises red flags for us because we're like, why didn't you do this sooner? Why did it take you till your third year to break out? And I know, you know, you only played 3 years of college or high school football. You were a highly recruited athlete. Are you just that deep threat that like Donovan Peoples Jones was, right? And when you look at what he did as a junior, this is a red flag. 42.5% of Brian Thomas's yards, right? 1,172. 42% of that came on one route, and that was the go route. Go deep, the nine route, right? Throw it up. And we saw at the combine, he ran a 4.33 40, which was amazing for his size. He's like 6'3", 205. But it shows us that, okay, you send him deep. Now, you watch a lot of his film. The college game is so much different than the NFL game. Like, the NFL game, if he's a deep threat, they're going to have safeties over the top. They're going to prevent that. In college, there were so many times he was just one-on-one with the defensive back, and he just outruns him. Of course he's gonna outrun a defensive back when he's 6'3 and runs a 4.33 40-yard dash. Of course he's gonna do that. At the NFL, that's not gonna happen. They're gonna shadow him, they're gonna put double coverage on him. He's gotta have more routes, more tools in the tool bag than just the go route. 42.7% of his yards came on one route. Okay? And when we look at his film, you see that lack of route consistency and the variation in his route. He's not a route technician. So looking at his college career, we want to look at what their, you know, their percentage of the team's offense is. So he had a 15.5% of his team's receptions through his career and the games that he played. And he had a 16.5% of his team's yards in the game that he's played, right? Two seasons, he didn't do very good. 1 year, he blew up. So for his career, he had a 16% dominator rating. Just like a Donovan Mitchell, that's not going to cut it at the NFL level. Like, we're looking for guys that have like at least 20%, 25%, right? We talked about Harrison, Adunze, Malik Nabers. They were all over 20%. We look at the history of the NFL. Most of these college prospects have over 20%. There are outliers, right? We talk about there are outliers. But is that what you're going to bet on, an outlier? Is that what you want to use your number one fantasy pick on, an outlier? I mean, I'd rather use my number one pick on a guy that I have confidence that's going to be an NFL stud. And this is why I talk about moving up, being aggressive, going after the top guys in this class. Going after the Marvin Harrison Juniors for sure, the Malik Nabers, the Rome Odunze. Like, you want to spend your assets, your allocation of assets on a stud. You don't want to take chances on these guys that are 50-50 shots, right? There's reports that Brian Thomas was fine with being the wide receiver two behind Malik Nabers, right? He was fine being the second receiver in the pecking order. But if he gets drafted in the first round of an NFL team, he's going to be expected to be the alpha. Is Brian Thomas ready to be the alpha wide receiver on his team when almost 50% of his routes or 50% of his yards was on one route? That's not an alpha. That's not a Stephon Diggs. That's not a Justin Jefferson. That's not a Devontae Adams. That's not a Devonta Smith. That's not the kind of guy that you're looking for that's going to be your go-to guy unless you want to throw it up. Brian Thomas, to me, looks like he is a complimentary receiver, a Jameson Williams type. You know, a guy that when you do have an alpha, you have Brian Thomas on one side, like a Mike Williams, who is a compliment to Keenan Allen. You have a guy who can run routes. You have a guy who can, you know, get the first down. And then you have a guy who can run deep and get a touchdown. To me, that's Brian Thomas. Okay? I don't know how you feel about him, but that's what I see. When you watch his film, you can't help but see his speed, right? Terrific acceleration. terrific speed, like terrific vertical threat. But we talked about that, right? We know he can go deep. We know he can outrun most anybody on the field at a 4-3-3. He's got a decent release. Like, there are some times he gets jammed that I see, but he's got an okay release. He can get past defensive backs. He's a big guy, 6'3", 205 pounds, right? He's not going to be pushed around very easily. He's very fluid in his movements, in and out of breaks. I mean, he's got limited route tree, but what he does do, he can get in and out of his breaks really smoothly. He's got a decent ability to track the ball. Like, he can find it in the air. I wouldn't say he's elite like Adunze is, or Adunze. I wouldn't say he's elite, but he is at least above average in tracking the football. But like I mentioned, the routes that he does do, he looks okay. He looks pretty good doing them, okay? Especially when you look at those one, like the one cut routes where he doesn't have to do a lot, like in, out, right? Go make a cut, he's good. Go make a cut out, he's good. Go do a post, he's good. Like, he's very good at breaking those routes off. When you look at his negatives on film, there's a lot of them. There's a lot of them. He's very inconsistent. His footwork is inconsistent. Like, his feet just don't go with his body, I guess is the best way I can say it. When he gets to the top of his routes, he's kind of inconsistent on, you know, exploding towards the ball, like knowing where the ball is. Again, he's very ideal in that go route because all he has to do is run and go catch the ball. When you talk about defensive backs like having contested catches with him, if he is in that situation, he's not really great, you know, fighting through that contact. Especially like when there is contact or there is traffic, he does have kind of trouble locating the football. But he's a much better tracker of the football when he's just going deep. Like, that's his bread and butter. Like, his bread and butter is, I'm gonna run deep, you throw it up, I'm gonna go get it. Is that gonna translate to the NFL? I don't know. It's hard to say. He's a great athlete, right? He's a high school recruit. We saw at the combine, just an explosive athlete, a fast athlete. Didn't break out to his final year in college. Had the Heisman winning quarterback, was across from Malik Nabers. Like, there's so many things that point to he's not going to make it at the NFL level unless he develops. You know, what was that? 42.5% of his yards came on one route. I think last year, 18% of his total yards were on three plays. So he had like three huge plays for LSU, and that was 18% of his total 1,172 yards. So that's kind of what I see on tape. Now, we talk about his comps. Now, just like Adonai Mitchell, my model does not like Brian Thomas. It doesn't have him as a top 5, 12, or 24. It doesn't like his production profile. It doesn't like really a lot that he did in those 3 years. But, like I mentioned last episode, neither did DK Metcalf. Neither did Jaylen Waddle. So I got to consider that these extreme athletes can finally put it together. Right? So we don't want to discredit him and take him off our board because he does have great athleticism. He was a high recruit coming out of high school. There are players that we can just throw off our list because we have red flags and they weren't high recruits and they're not great athletes. That's easy to take them off, right? We don't expect them to be outliers. But when you have these great athletes, there is a chance that they could be outliers. You look at DK Metcalf, you look at Jaylen Waddle, and I have Brian Thomas Jr.'s top comp as Jaylen Waddle. Now, I know he's a lot bigger than Jaylen Waddle, and he doesn't have the route running chops that Jaylen Waddle has, but it could also be a DK Metcalf ceiling, right? So we gave Adonai Mitchell, I don't want to be a spoiler alert if you haven't listened to the episode, a similar ceiling, DK Metcalf. But for Brian Thomas Jr., to me, his floor is Denzel Mims. And a lot of people were high on Denzel Mims coming out. I was very low on Denzel Mims. I thought he was going to be a bust. We saw his career didn't pan out. I see a lot of similarities in Brian Thomas Jr. that I see in Denzel Mims and in Terrace Marshall Jr., which I also was not a big fan of Terrace Marshall Jr. But just like people are hyping Brian Thomas Jr., people were hyping Terrace Marshall. People were hyping Denzel Mims because on tape, they flash these athletic abilities, but they don't have a lot of the nuances that you need at the NFL level to be successful, to be that NFL star, right? So looking at NFL.com, Lance Zierlein, we look at some reviews. I mentioned some last time on the Adonai Mitchell. Brian Thomas got a 6.7 score. Denzel Mims got a 6.33, which I have Denzel Mims as Brian Thomas's floor. Waddle was a 6.86, right? So again, Thomas was a 6.47, Waddle was a 6.86. And this is Lance Zierlein's ratings. A.D. Mitchell got a 6.35. Denzel Mims got a 6.33. Brian Thomas got a 6.47. I had Breshad Perriman also in that range of outcomes. He got a 6.30. Denzel Mims got a 6.33. Brian Thomas got a 6.47. DK Metcalf got a 6.80, right? So DK and Waddle got 6.8s. Thomas got a 6.47. AD got a 6.35. Denzel 6.33. Breshad Perriman 6.30. I think these guys are all in the same category. I think they could be outliers and they have a high ceiling, but I also think they have a low floor and they can be like your Denzel Mims, Breshad Perriman type players, right? So listen to these notes that Lance Zierlein had on these players. First of all, Denzel Mims. Touchdown threat anytime he's near the red zone. Brian Thomas Jr. could be counted on early as a designated deep guy. Jaylen Waddle. Cheat code speed. 11 50 plus yard touchdowns, right? So these guys are very similar. DK Metcalf was the same way. Here's another one. Denzel Mims needs to ramp up his physicality against press coverage. Brian Thomas lacks the release to slide past press coverage. And then Jaylen Waddle hasn't faced a lot of press coverage, so we don't really know what Jaylen Waddle could do. All right, looking at Denzel Mims, another note, has a history of drops. Okay, Brian Thomas, occasional focus drops. Jaylen Waddle drops the ball when the ball gets on top of him. Here's Denzel Mims. Needs to pick up his route pace and his salesmanship. Here's Brian Thomas Jr. His routes lack focus and salesmanship. Looking at Jaylen Waddle. I'm sorry, DK Metcalf. This is a DK Metcalf quote. Fails to sell his routes and fakes. And then also has focus drops. So you talk about Denzel Mims has a history of drops. Brian Thomas has occasional focus drops. DK Metcalf was noted as having focus drops. Jaylen Waddle, when the ball was on top of him, he seemed to have drops. These are just notes from Lance Zierlein, but it has a lot of coincidence in these profiles that these players are at the college level players that need to develop in their game to make it at the next level. Brian Thomas Jr. is getting a lot of hype to be a top wide receiver in this class, and he's got the athletic ability to do that. I think there's a really good possibility that Brian Thomas Jr. could be a bust. And because this class is not strong, it's going to allow Brian Thomas Jr. not only to be drafted higher, but also stand out in this class because it is not a very strong class. Brian Thomas will probably be right around 5 or 6 wide receiver in this class for me. Maybe 7 because the model doesn't like him, but he has that upside and we don't want to deny that upside. Same with Adonai Mitchell. They have the potential upside, but they have such a low floor. Red flags galore. There's guys I'd rather take shots on that have a full college profile and potential translation to the NFL is a lot better than these guys. These guys are fast, they're big, they're strong, they're explosive. And the NFL loves that because the ego takes over and they say, well, I can mold him, I can work with him. And that's to be determined. That's to be determined. I'd rather have the guy who's already done it, and you don't have to mold him into that guy because he's already done it. And we'll talk about some of those guys in our next episodes. But I wanted to go ahead and get Mitchell and Brian Thomas out of the way because they're being hyped as top wide receivers in this class, and you may love them, and they're probably really good people. But I see a lot of red flags in their profile, and I would be hesitant to spend my only first round pick on A.D. Mitchell or Brian Thomas Jr. because I just don't think they're wide receiver ones. I think it's going to take them 1, 2, 3 years maybe to develop. Yeah, they'll have some big plays here and there, but are they going to be that consistent stud that we want on our fantasy team? And it goes back, and I'll say it again, and I'm going to say it again till this draft cycle's over. Package your picks. Move up for Marvin Harrison, Malik Nabers, Roma Dunze. Be aggressive. Package players. Package picks. Move up. Do what you got to do. Get them in this class. Lock them in your lineup for the next 10 years. And don't worry about these guys who are 50-50 chances of making it to the NFL level. That's my opinion. That's my take. I'm going to get out of here with this Maker's Mark BEP 2023 limited release wood finishing series. Appreciate you tuning in. Check me out. Patreon.com/RotoLounge. $1 a month. See you there. We'll get on to some more profiles. The draft is in a week. This week, the draft is on Thursday. Less than a week. We're going to be excited. Round one, we're going to see a lot of offensive players go. Probably Brian Thomas Jr. will be in that first round. You got to decide if you're willing to spend your first round pick on him and expect him to be a wide receiver one on your roster. I just don't see it. But that's me. And that's why I'm here, because I'm giving you my opinion and what I see on film and what I see based on the history of these players. All right. So till next time, this has been your boy Brad Starks. Cheers.